That's Dying to Know by Joanne Shaw Taylor. She's one of the UK's number one stars of the blues rock world. Joanne Shaw Taylor performs tomorrow night at the Orpheum Theatre, 8 p.m. Central Time in downtown Sioux Falls. That's part of the Sioux Falls Jazz and Blues Society's 2017-18 concert series. SDPB's Steve Zwemke spoke with the girl with the big voice about her instruments and her passion for music.
Joanne, near the beginning of your biography is the cool fact that you were discovered and have played with Dave Stewart of the Eurythmics. Dave is an outstanding musician and has probably done even more behind the scenes for musicians and his craft. Talk about meeting Dave and how that helped advance your career.
Yeah, I met him when I was about 15. I was doing a charity show in my hometown of Birmingham, and he had a friend there, and he passed on my demo to Dave, and next day I was down on the train to London to meet him, and he's been a very sort of pivotal person in my career, just in terms of sort of mentoring me, really. You know, he was instrumental in encouraging me to sing and write songs as well as play guitar. You know, before that I'd just sort of been focusing on the guitar as an instrument. So just over the years he's just been hugely supportive and just really helpful in a business sense, you know, if I had any questions or that in that sort of regard. So just a really, you know, beneficial character to have met.
Yeah, a mentor and now a lifelong friend.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. Unfortunately for him.
Yeah. From what part of England do you come?
I come from an area called the West Midlands, so Birmingham in the Black Country.
Okay. What were some of your first encounters with blues music as you were growing up there?
My dad played guitar and harmonica and was just a huge sort of country blues fan, how I think of it. You know, Sunhouse and Sonny Terry, Brown and McGee. So I always remember that sort of stuff growing up. But really it was my brother had started playing electric guitar and my dad was playing him a Stevie Ray Vaughan DVD. And that's kind of what sparked my interest in it. Sorry. And, you know, kind of went from there.
Right. So you were immersed at home. Did you take lessons or schooling, or are you a self-taught player?
Self-taught. I did have some classical lessons when I was a kid, but they kind of went in one ear and out the other. Unfortunately, I haven't retained too much of that information. and then the blues side of things is definitely sort of self-taught.
What's your guitar of choice? Is there one that gets played the most?
Probably my main guitar, which is it's a 1966 Esquire that I've had sort of kitted out. It's got a humbucker in it, so not
yep.
a traditional single coil one pickup, but I tend to go between that and a Les Paul. You know, you can't make a Les Paul sound like a Telecaster, and you can't make a Telecaster sound like a Les Paul. So
yeah,
can't need both.
I've seen the Esquire in a lot of videos featuring your live performances. So it's just a beautiful sounding instrument, isn't it?
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I love that guitar. I mean, I've had that since I was 15, so it's kind of it's the baby.
Yeah, you have a very distinctive voice, and it melds so well with the sound of your instrument and with your band. Did it take a lot of training to get your vocals to where you were comfortable as a performer, or are you just a natural?
No, definitely not a natural. anything. no, that particularly took a lot of perseverance. And to be honest, I didn't want to sing. It was just I knew that, you know, if I wanted to front the band, I was going to have to. You know, because the singer kind of gets to dictate the set list. But it wasn't until sort of my early mid-20s that I started just sort of getting a handle on it, which was really just through sort of perseverance and being on the road and, you know, kind of doing it every day, really, and getting used to it. But I still notice, like, if you listen to my first album, White Sugar, and then the newest one, Wild, it's still changed a lot. You know, it's deepened and I have a bit more control over it, but it's still an ongoing lesson.
This is the first time I've had an opportunity to visit with an artist who's actually performed on Later with Jules Holland on the BBC. Absolutely love that program. Now, is it as it appears on television with several different artists in the studio in a big circle?
Yeah, basically you've just described it. Bang on. It's a load of artists in a circle and the camera pans around and Jules tells you who's going next.
Sure.
So I wasn't disappointed because, I mean, I'm a huge fan too. I grew up watching that, you know. I mean, we didn't have internet when I was learning, so that was like how I discovered B.B. King and Bonnie Raitt, mm-hmm. and, you know. But no, it was amazing, good fun.
The cool thing about Leader with Jules Holland is the range, the many different genres that they have in one episode. Do you remember who you appeared with?
Yeah, it was the Pretenders were there.
Oh, wow.
And then Loudon Wainwright, which was kind of the one for me, because they set him up right where our stage was and just sort of gave him a chair. And we're like, hello, Mr. Wainwright. So, you know, that in itself was quite an eclectic mix.
Absolutely cool experience. You talked about your voice progressing from White Sugar, which came out in 2009, up to your latest release, Wild. What other progressions have you made since that first release? Is it just kind of honing of your skills, or have you tried to push the envelope a little bit with specific recordings or with your writing?
I don't think I've sort of tried to push the envelope. I don't think that's sort of my character. You know, I think my main focus has always been just trying to be me and, you know, be the best version of me. So I think I've certainly changed, because obviously I've listened to a lot more broader music and kind of soaked that up. And, you know, also I try and, I think writing was the main thing I tried to improve. And hopefully that has. And with the benefit of co-writers as well, which is something we did for the last album. So, again, I don't think I've sort of pushed any envelopes, but I've certainly tried to keep improving, you know, for myself, if nothing else, you know.
At the outset, you mentioned that you do have some rock and roll leanings from when you first started to listen to music. I find that kind of cool because with Wild, you were produced by Kevin Shirley, and he's worked with countless bands like Rush, Aerosmith, Dream Theater, Iron Maiden, Journey, and the list goes on and on. Talk about working with him and what he brings to a recording project.
It's funny, I really don't have a lot in common with any of those artists, do I? so it wasn't a traditional Kevin Shirley album. I think for me, with Kevin, it was, one, working with a producer, for me, there's got to be a huge amount of trust there, because, you know, essentially I'm handing over my babies, my songs, and going, all right, you make the album out of this. And, you know, that's kind of a broad spectrum. You know, you could take those songs and make them any different way and arrange them away, and you could get, you know, a lot of different albums. And one thing Kevin really does is he does steer the ship. You know, he has a very clear idea of what are the best things I do and what are the, you know, where I fail. And, you know, he really brings the best out in you, as well as, you know, the musicians he chooses. So that's, you know, a huge thing. And also he gets you to push yourself. You know, there's things we did on the album that I'd have never have, you know, when he emailed me, it was the night before the final recording day, and he sent me an email saying, listen to Wild is the Wind, the Bowie version, and learn it. And it's like, that is not what you want to hear when you think you're nearly done with recording, because the melody on that song is not in my sort of wheelhouse as a blues singer. So, you know, I'd have never thought about doing something like that. And it's probably my favorite song on the album, hence we kind of named it after that.
Yeah. And I should mention, I should mention too, when we talk about Kevin Shirley, he's just not a total rock and roll legend when it comes to recording. I mean, he's handled many blues projects too. I know Robert Cray comes to mind.
Yeah, and obviously his relationship with Bonamassa, which is, you know, ongoing, and Beth Hart with that. So, no, I mean, he's a very, you know, he has quite a varied CV, which, you know, works in my favor as well for me, you know.
Yeah. You release CDs and albums fairly frequently compared to many other artists, and Wild came out in 2016. Do you have another project ongoing?
Yeah, we've started writing and with a view to recording shortly, so we should be getting another one out this year. We would have had one out last year, but I got sick on the road and had to cancel the tour, and everything kind of got rearranged. So, but yeah, we try and about once every 18 months kind of suits me, in that, you know, once a year would be too much, I think, creatively for me. I really don't have that much to say, so within 18 months I can find stuff to write about. I can live enough to find stuff to write about. But also, you know, it's, I mean, the industry has changed, and I'm kind of a niche artist, you know, being in the blues rock world. So really live is where it's at for us. And, you know, CDs and releasing a product nowadays is kind of something that helps us maintain presence on the road, you know.
Sure.
So it's kind of a necessary, and plus I love doing it, so.
We're visiting with Joanne Shaw Taylor, and she performs Friday, March 9th at the Orpheum Theater in Sioux Falls. Showtime is 8 p.m. Will this be your first South Dakota concert?
It will, yeah. I don't think I've ever even been to the state. Don't quote me on that, I'm sure, because I'm sure someone will write in and claim they met me and I just forgot all about it. But I think it's my first time there.
You split your time, actually, between Michigan and England now, too. Is that correct?
Yeah, I've been in Detroit for about 10 years now. So, okay. You know, if we're touring over here, I kind of tag on time here. And if we're back in Europe, I tag on time there.
Sure. Do you have a permanent band in place for concerts and recording, or do you just go with session musicians? How does that work?
I have a permanent live band. Mm-hmm. They've been with me for a few years now, which is Oliver Perry and Luigi Casanova. And we just added a new keyboard player, Bob Friedsma, who unfortunately won't be on this US tour because it was a bit too short notice to get him in. But yeah, they've been with me for a couple of years now, the rhythm section. And in terms of recording, we usually... I like to use session guys, to be honest, for recording. I find it kind of mixes things up for me, and usually that's sort of, you know, the producer's decision anyway.
Yeah. We talked about you appearing on Jules Holland just a couple of years ago. Do any performances that you've been a part of stick out as being favorites?
I don't know about favorites, you know, because, I mean, I tend to enjoy every gig I do unless there's sort of technical problems or anything like that. But there's certainly some things that stick out as just being very special, you know, kind of one of a kind, like the Diamond Jubilee, which, you know, when we played for the Queen with Annie Lennox, that was, you know, kind of a pat on the back moment. You know, I never thought I'd be at Buckingham Palace, let alone rocking out there. So that was a bit weird.
What are you listening to right now, whether it's from within your own genre or any other? What are some things you're listening to right now?
A couple of new things to me, which is a band out of here that I've known of for a few years called Greta Van Fleet, that are out of Frankenmuth, Michigan. Mm-hmm. Three brothers and a friend doing sort of very classic rock stuff, and they're kind of blowing up the rock charts at the minute, and four lovely boys that I'm super proud of. And then I've been working with and listening to a lot of a female friend of mine called Sonia Lee, who's from Nashville, who's an amazing singer-songwriter, kind of more in the Americana kind of field. So those have kind of been heavily on my playlist.
Cool. With Wild, the last CD you've released, what are some of the songs that people are really, really getting into during your shows, or are they getting into all of them?
I think with that album, I think the two big ones have been Dying to Know, which we usually open with. And it's surprised me. It's the first time I've toured behind an album and I've seen people singing the lyrics, which is helpful if I forget them. So that's nice. And then also Wild as the Wind seems to be like the big... and also, actually, No Reason to Stay, because that was kind of a radio single in the UK particularly. So, but it's funny what people kind of, you know, attach to, you know. Songs I think maybe weren't my best and turn out to be some people's favourites. So it's always funny to see what people are into.
Have you noticed over the years a growing family of Joanne Shaw Taylor supporters here in America?
Yeah, there's definitely, I'm very fortunate that there's definitely a few as well that have been there from the early days. Yeah. Like, you know, my first few tours, say around 2010, kind of that era, that keep coming out, you know, and will tell me it's their 17th time seeing me in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't want to see me 17 times, so God bless them for coming out and supporting. Should have told you everything in it, right from the start. A true confession I have to make. I know it's a narrow lane.
That's SDPB's Steve Zwemke talking with Joanne Shaw Taylor. She performs tomorrow night at the Orpheum Theater in downtown Sioux Falls as part of the Sioux Falls Jazz and Blues Society's concert series. We leave you with her song, I Wish I Could Wish You Back. We'll bring you Lee Strubinger's look at the state budget after the news during our next hour. Kevin Wooster is after the break. You're listening to In the Moment, SDPB Radio. That ship has sailed. Why do you want what you can't have? And I miss you back, and I wish I could wish you back.